You can get the latest odds, offers and more great content at williamhill.com, on the William Hill app and in any of our shops around the UK. The Daily Racing Podcast from William Hill.
And they're off.
Listen to the podcast at williamhill.com/podcast.
Third festival win and the biggest one today.
Or subscribe via iTunes by searching William Hill Podcasts in the music store.
Hello and welcome along to the Daily Racing Podcast, brought to you by William Hill. Good to have you with us on Saturday's edition of the podcast, where it is Derby Day at Epsom. The big race coming up at 4:30. A good looking card, as you might expect on Derby Day at Epsom. We've also got racing to come in the afternoon from right up and down the country. We've got flat action at Doncaster, jumping at both Hexham and Worcester. There's also level racing, or racing on the level, at Musselburgh. And then into the evening, we've got action from Lingfield and Chepstow, as well as two Irish cards at Navan and Tramore. Busy old day. We go live at 1:10 on Saturday afternoon. Sam Norris here, joined in the studio by Andrew Mount on this edition. Hello, Mr. Mount.
Hello, young Sam. How are you, sir?
I'm very good, thank you. Yeah, looking forward to the 2 days at Epsom. And I see you're preparing in true Andrew Mount fashion with a nice can of Diet Coke.
Absolutely. Yeah, you've got to get the preparation right. That's what it's all about.
Looking forward to the 2 days that we've got coming up. Obviously, we're recording this Friday afternoon before racing gets underway at Epsom. The weather's played slight havoc with the ground because we've had sort of a deluge of rain even, and now it's drying out again, which is making it a little bit tough.
That's right. A few days ago, with thunderstorms around, people were saying, oh, maybe Oaks Day is going to be abandoned. It could be heavy. Now they're calling it soft, good to soft in places, and it's drying out. So yeah, it could be on the fast side of good to soft come Derby Day.
It's just adding another spanner to the works in terms of preparation going forward. You were in the studio yesterday on Thursday. Was there anything that went into your tracker? Anything that particularly caught your eye on Thursday?
Yeah, there was one trained by David Simcott called Mugger 2, who won at Lingfield. Only a maiden auction over the extended 11 furlong trip. But this one was probably winning against the pace bias. It paid to be prominent on the round course there yesterday, whereas Mugger 2 missed the break and came from way back to win comfortably by a length and a quarter at 8-1. And that was certainly an improvement on the debut at Newmarket when not disgraced in 66-1 seventh, again running against the pace bias on the rolling mile. This is also David Simcock's first winner for a while. I think he's won from 26 in the past fortnight. So Mugger 2 is... sort of won against the pace bias and bucked the trend of the stables runners in the last couple of weeks as well. So it could be a lot better than he looks so far. So wait for him to go into a minor handicap and have a bet, I think.
Okay. One to follow over the few coming days and weeks that we've got ahead of us. We're going to look in depth on a couple of races on the card at Epsom, but we'll start with a little look at the Derby. Saxon Warrior, the even money favourite. Young Rascal, 7-1. 8-1 for Hazapour and Roaring Lion. Delano Roosevelt is 12-1. 16s for DXB and Knight to Behold. Massar, 20-1. Savannah Star is 25-1 with the Pentagon. Kew Gardens, 33-1. And Zabriskie is in the betting at 66-1. Aidan O'Brien's won 4 of the last 6 renewals of the Derby. Saxon Warrior has been mooted as a potential Triple Crown horse. This obviously leg 2 of the Triple Crown. Was impressive in the 2000 Guineas. Andrew extended his unbeaten record in that race. Plenty of people will tell you, and you'd probably be one of these people, that stall 1 is a negative over this trip at Epsom, but high class horses overcome such negatives.
Yeah, I mean, my system for opposing stall 1s over the mile and a half trip at Epsom is look for handicaps of 10 or more runners and then oppose anything drawn in stall 1. Stall 2's got a pretty poor record as well in those circumstances. We'll get a chance to see how Wild Illusion, the favourite for the Oaks, gets on from stall 1, although there's only 9 runners, so that certainly wouldn't be insurmountable. But if you look at Epsom stall 1, so going back to the start of this century, in handicaps only in fields of 10 or more runners, I think it's 0 from 78. And then if you look at the non-handicaps, then or you include the non-handicaps as well, that 0 from 78 becomes 0 from 114.
Right.
So that would certainly be a worry for Saxon Warrior backers, particularly even money as well. So I mean, there's always a chance with so many Aidan O'Brien runners in the field, they might sort of make it easy for him.
Yes, create a golden highway
but
for
of course,
him.
Although Epsom's a left-handed track, it's on the climb and slightly right-handed at the mile and a half start. So it'll be fascinating to see the route that Ryan Moore takes on Saxon Warrior.
Yeah.
But yeah, not for me at even money, although I wouldn't be surprised to see him maintain his unbeaten record.
Who would be for you then? It's 7-1 bar the Jolly, and the rest of them are by no means no-hopers.
Certainly not. And one I like, who's currently priced at 18-1 with us, is number one DXB for Mark Johnson. Sylvester D'Souza's on this one. And really caught the eye here at Epsom over 10 furlongs in listed company on his reappearance in April, when given plenty to do behind Crossed Baton. Now, the winner that day made all and dictated the pace. The runner-up tracked the winner and was always in second place, whereas DXB was in sixth place, always towards the outside of the field under James Doyle, was the 15-8 favourite, but could never get involved. That marked him down as one to follow. Next time out, I was going to back him at Chester, but then he had stall 10. This was in the Chester Vars. Now, the first five home that day were drawn 2, 10, 1, 3 and 4. Now, the outlier, the one who ran better than his draw, was DXB, who was second by half a length from stall 10, behind Young Rascal, who was well drawn in 2.
Yeah.
Now, again, you know, trapped on the wide outside, it was a 12-1 shot, he's only just got beaten. So he's run two good races against biases this season, and enlisted in Group 3 company, so yes, he's up in class. But I've got no issues regarding his stamina. He's a winner on heavy ground and also you know, shown plenty of good form on good ground this season. So I don't think ground conditions are going to be a worry. And of course, Sylvester D'Souza rides for the first time since this one made a winning debut in a Goodwood Maiden over 7 furlongs last summer. So at 18-1 each way against an even money favourite who could be badly drawn, I think I'd rather be with DXB.
And the one horse there, DXB, in the Derby coming up at 4:30. We're going to take a look at another couple of races on the card at Epsom, starting with the first race of the day, which is the 2 o'clock handicap over a mile and a quarter. Poet's Prince is the 4-1 favourite at the time of recording. Ship of the Fen is 9-2. Courthouse is 11-2. Indomineo is 11-2. Corazon Espinado 8-1. 10-1 for Sohud. 12-1 and bigger prices for the rest of them. What do the draw biases tell us over a mile and a quarter, Andrew?
Not a great deal. You caught me off course. looking at this race, previous years, last year the winner was 3, the year before 14, 11, 6, 7. So a mixed bag, really. So I wouldn't worry too much about the draw over this trip. But the angle I'm going with here is with trainer Sylvester Kirk, who's got number 11, George, down the bottom of the weights. It's actually £4 out of the handicap, but I'm not too worried about that. Now, Sylvester Kirk's got a fantastic record in this race. He's won it 3 times in the last 10 years, with a 16-1 shot in 2009, 10-1 shot Charles Camoyne in 2011. And 2 years ago, I napped this one, 25-1 Gord Orpolin. Now, Sylvester Kirk in general, if you just back him blind in Epsom handicaps in the last 10 years, you make a good profit. I think it's 10 winners from 59 runners and well over £50 to a £1 level stake. And George has yet to win, but is bred to appreciate the step up to 10 furlongs for the first time. Dragon Pulse Offspring are profitable to back blind over this trip. He's a full brother to a 10 furlong winner, and his dam was out of a 10 furlong winner. So although he was only fourth at Chelmsford last time over a mile, qualifier on the Chelmsford flop system after that 6-1 defeat, I think the step up and trip will sue. And you know, his best career effort came at this track when second on heavy ground over 7 furlongs. That was last October on his first run since being gelded. And so with, you know, cutting the ground, up in trip, a trainer who, you know, has done really well in this race and off a nice low weight, I thought George, 12-1 with us at William Hill, could be worth a few quid each way.
Yeah, George, in that 2 o'clock race at Epsom, as Andrew said, 12-1 at the time of recording. Onto the dash then, the 3:45 race, for which Dark Shot is 11-2. Boom the Groom, 8-1. 9-1 Caspian Prince. Edward Lewis, 11-1. Duke of Firenze is 12-1. Blue de Vega, 14s with Desert Law, Tarbouche, Harry Hurricane, Tanasok and Bahamian Sunrise, 16-1. And bigger prices for the rest of them. This is obviously on paper one of the most competitive sprint handicaps all year, but Caspian Prince has made light work of it over the last few years, won 3 of the last 4 runnings, and for 3 different trainers, no less. He's back to try and do it for a fourth time for a fourth different trainer. He's 9-1. We've got previous winners such as Duke of Firenze in the race. But Dark Shot has been all the rage in the betting over the last few weeks. And 11-2 now, is that slightly on the skinny side for a race of this nature?
Possibly not, because of the draw. He's right next to that stand side, well, near that stand side rail in stall 19 of 20. And he's a front runner stroke prominent racer who's probably going to get the lead there. And he ran an absolute blinder on his first start for Scott Dixon at York last month. It was a 28-1 shot, finished second by a neck in a field of 18, finding only El Astronaute too good. And of course, next time out, El Astronaute was beaten ahead back at York off a £3 high mark. So that form's very decent. And Dark Shot ran in this race last year for Andrew Balding and was second, beaten a short head by Caspian Prince. He came out of stall 10 that day and was slowly into stride, so and got hampered as well. So although I respect Caspian Prince, because obviously since he's joined Mick Appleby this season, this has been the plan.
Yeah.
So he's won this three times in the last 4 years, as you say, all for different trainers. So it'd be fantastic if he can do it. Stall 2 could be tricky, though. And although he overcame stall 1 last year, the going stick suggests that the ground is quicker on the stand side. Okay. I think it's saying 5.9 as opposed to 5.5 on the far side. So, you know, Caspian Prince, unless he can break and come across to the near side rail, he could be on the slowest part of the track. And I think Dark Shot can repay that 40,000 guineas purchase price for Scott Dixon here.
11-2 then for Dark Shot in the Epsom Dash. That goes with Andrew's earlier selection of George at 12-1 in the 2 o'clock, and three selections for the price of two on today's podcast. DXB as well at 16-1 for the big one on Saturday. Thank you very much for that, Andrew. Informative as always, and enjoy Derby Day.
Thanks, Sam.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.